He is risen. He is risen. Lord, give us your Holy Spirit. Open our eyes. Open our hearts to understand the truth of your resurrection. And Lord, from this moment, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord, my rock, and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Well, supposedly we're here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Yes. I mean, really. We're going to look here, this Easter 2014, at John's Gospel to try and get a picture of what it means to believe in the resurrection. Through Mary, through the beloved disciple John, who wrote the book, and through Jesus, we're going to try and understand the nature of faith. First, Mary teaches us, through her experience of the resurrection, about the challenges of faith. We're told in Luke's Gospel, Mary's life was a mess. She was a mess. And when she encountered Jesus, he turned her life upside down. Not only gave her dignity, healed her body, but then said, hey, come on along and be a part of this great kingdom work. She'd spent at least a year with him, serving his needs. Have you lost anybody close to you recently? Do you know the depths of despair about losing your heart's desire? She was there when he was crucified, when the nails went through his hands, when he was hoisted up on the wood. Her Lord had died. She had followed Joseph and Nicodemus to the tomb. She saw where they laid the body, but because it was night, and the Passover, or the Sabbath was coming, they hurriedly buried him. She waited for the Sabbath. First thing in the morning, she ran to the tomb to give a dead man a proper burial. She wanted to say her last goodbyes. Do you know what it's like to say your last goodbyes to a loved one? But when she arrived at the tomb, she saw the stone moved away and there was no body. Immediately, she runs to tell the disciples she's found nothing. When she bursts into Peter and to John, the beloved, what does she say? Hey, you know what? It was true. He was right. He's risen. I was there. I've seen it. There's no body. Is that what he said? Is that what she says? No. She looks at the facts, and here's what she says. They've taken our Lord away, and I have no idea where they've put him. You see, why is this important? Mary is there. She sees the empty tomb, and she's totally confused. She doesn't get it. The facts produce confusion. She runs to find nothing. The consummate seeker comes up empty. The empty tomb does not produce faith. It produces fear. Now, as a pastor, I spent 11 years in youth ministry. And I loved youth ministry because kids are much more honest than adults. They don't fake it. They don't just come and pretend. When they don't believe something, they raise their hand and say, I don't believe. We'd look at the facts in Bible studies on schools' campuses. And kids would say, I see that it says he's not there. But it totally confuses me. I don't get how this fits in to who God is, to evolution and creation, to how the Bible is reliable. How do we know the disciples didn't steal the body? You see, when these kids examine the facts, it brought confusion. For some of you, maybe you go to church, Easter, Christmas. This whole resurrection thing is confusing. You don't get it. You know what I want to say to you this Easter? You're in good company. Mary was there. She didn't get it either. If this is you, if you don't understand who Jesus is or what he's done, don't be alarmed. Don't be turned off by your confusion. Everybody starts there. We didn't read it, but Mary follows Peter and John back and hangs out. And in her confusion, Jesus meets her. But we learn from Mary's first encounter with the resurrection, there are challenges to faith. Well, John's experience of the resurrection teaches us how to begin a life of faith. He's the beloved disciple. He's writing the book. You gotta love the fact that he just couldn't help sticking another jab at Peter, right? I outran him, by the way. He was a little slow. I had to wait for him. Now, granted, he did kind of wait and defer to Peter and let Peter go in first. But come on, you wouldn't make this stuff up. If you're writing a book, who cares that you outran him, right? It had to be true. Well, he starts running. He runs to find something. He runs to find nothing. He takes a step towards where he thinks Jesus is. And when he arrives, he sees the linens folded up. He follows Peter's lead, goes into the tomb, and what does he say? Here's John. Ready for this? He has seen Lazarus risen from the dead. He's heard everything Jesus has done. He saw all the miracles, the feeding of the 5,000, right? The healing of people left and right, casting out of demons. And you know what he does? In this gospel, we get his testimony. Now, we're Anglicans. We're not Baptists. So we don't have people come forward and give their testimony about the time they accepted Jesus. That's a little wacky for us. But John does it right here in the gospel. Look what it says in verse 8. I went in, he said, and then I believed. He says, that was the moment. It didn't matter. I'd seen it all. That was the moment. There was enough evidence. I was there. I believed. Now, he adds to say, well, I still didn't understand that Scripture talked about Jesus or how Jesus' resurrection was going to impact life. I just believed that he rose. It was very simple. Why is this important? If you want to begin a life of faith, you have to hear the facts about Jesus, that he was a real man, that he claimed to be sinless, he claimed to be God on earth, that he died on a cross so that God could take your sin and my sin and place it on an unblemished person and take his righteousness and give it to you for free. And then that he rose from the dead and he's alive. These are the facts. Now, my take is probably 80%, judgment comment here, 80% of the people in churches in Baltimore today to celebrate Easter believe the facts. I believe, like John, Jesus rose from the dead. Do you know what verse 10 says that we left out? We left it out. Oh, and then John just went back to his home. Believing did not change John. He believed the facts, but it made no impact on his life. And he went that whole day believing that Jesus rose, but making no difference. How many of you are like that? You would say, yeah, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe he rose. But then you go back about your life. You have no understanding about how a risen Jesus is actually supposed to impact life. We start belief by hearing the gospel. That's the place we start. If you understand the facts, yay for you. That's where everybody starts. If you don't understand the facts, read Scripture, talk to a Peter or John, come back, ask questions. But the facts where we start. But John teaches us that's not the point of the resurrection, to just believe that he did it off some there and then go back home to our everyday lives. Some of you know Carrie Edwards. About 2.5 years, she came to this church. She'd never been to church. She didn't even know the facts. And she was annoying. Sorry, Carrie. She'd ask questions. She'd show up to Bible study and be obnoxious. I don't get this. And we'd go out for coffee time and time again. And we'd go over it. And she got to a place about a year after hanging around resurrection where she believed the facts. And she's like, but I don't have what you all have. I don't know him. How does that happen? Is it just pray a prayer? I've tried that. Nothing's worked. She attended our Israel trip last year. And literally standing before the wailing wall in Jerusalem, Jesus appeared to Carrie. And a month later, we baptized her here. She spent a whole day, like John, a season of her life, believing the facts, but she'd never met the risen Christ. I don't know why Jesus didn't just appear to his beloved. John right then when he believed, but he didn't. Some of you are in the in-between. You believe the facts, but you've never met Jesus. He has no impact on your life. Believing the facts is where we start. But ready for this? Thirdly, Jesus' resurrection. And Jesus is going to teach us the goal of belief. The challenge of belief, I don't get it, I'm confused. We begin believing by looking at the facts. But the goal of believing is meeting Christ. That night, all the disciples are gathered in a room. They've locked the doors, but reports are trickling in. Two disciples walking from Emmaus, they spent an afternoon with Jesus. Peter, Mary Magdalene had actually met him later on in the garden. They're open. They want to know. They're beginning to believe the facts. And what does it say? And Jesus came and stood among them. Humor me for a second. Kristen and I, when we were dating, I was in Boston. She was in Baltimore. Southwest had just started its flights from Providence to Baltimore. And it's great. Assigned seating out the window. I could get the front seat. I didn't care if I was between two really fat people. I was going to be in the front seat. So as soon as the door was open, I was going to run out so I could see Kristen. We were in love. I mean, the anticipation. Oh, come on. The gate agent's taking his time. This is killing me. Can you imagine Jesus? I mean, you got to just wonder if he had a smile on his face. Like, turns to the angels and is like, watch this. You know? Da-na-da-na-da-na-da-na. Boom! And he's right there, however he does it. He's alive. They don't believe it. He has to show them. Look, it's me. Look at my scars. I'm body. I'm not a ghost. Look, and he actually eats some bread and some fish, excuse me, we're told. He shows them his side. And it says, they were glad. Oh, look, it's Jesus. I'm so glad. I'm so glad you're here today. I'm so glad the sun's out today. What an understatement. You see, it was in that moment when they met the risen Christ. We meet Jesus by running to find the truth of an empty tomb, by believing the facts, seeing him from Scripture, and then unlocking the doors of our hearts so he can come in. For the disciples, he just appeared. They wanted him to come. But Revelation 3 says, no, he stands at the door and knocks. He will never burst into your world without you inviting him. To all who open the door, I will come in and show myself to him, the scripture says. How do you know if you've met Christ? How do you know? If you're sitting here today, two things. What does Jesus give them? First, he gives them peace. The image from Scripture is that it's a total peace, that it's something that hits them like a freight train that changes their mind and heart. Some of you believe the facts about Jesus, but you're anxious. You're scared. Money challenges rock you off your peace level. Your marriage, your children, life itself, there's no peace in your life. It's why you drink or run or go on vacation because you're trying to find peace. Jesus says, when you meet me, I can pour out a peace that surpasses all understanding in your heart and mind. And then it says, that word, horrible translation, and they were filled with gladness. No, they were overflowing with joy is what the Greek word is. That ultimately something came from the outside and put joy. You know what happens when the Ravens beat the Patriots? All of a sudden, joy flows into your life. Outward circumstances, Ravens, flood you with joy. Jesus does this. The Greek word means a foundational delight in life. Have you ever experienced the peace and joy of Christ? Now, it doesn't mean as Christians our life is perfect and we won't have situations. I've just spent 5 weeks recovering from very painful surgery. It has not been fun. Peace and joy have not always characterized my response. But I've had to go back to the Lord, and I can tell you where he's met me in the last 5 weeks. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Those of you who know and have met Christ, you know the truth that when you ask for his peace and his joy, regardless of your circumstances, he gives it. So let me conclude. This Easter, as we come to celebrate Jesus, some of you are still confused. You've examined the facts. You don't really get it. Resurrection exposes your unbelief. It's okay. You're in good company. Keep asking, seeking, and knocking. Find a Peter and John. Hang around like Carrie did. She didn't give up. And see if Jesus won't reveal himself to you in your confusion. Some of you believe the facts, but it's no big deal. It's like the weather. Listen, if Jesus actually died on a cross and rose from the dead and holds your eternal security in the palm of his hand, he's worth knowing. This is not about being good or following moral codes or living up to a standard. It's about knowing the God of the universe and being reconciled to him. Will you take a step of faith, surrender your life to him and say, you are worthy. I want to know you. Come into my life. It's as simple as that. Finally, some of you, you know Christ. This is just another day. Every day is Easter. When you meet with him in the morning around scripture and your coffee, when you gather with your Bible study, when you meet with some guys at a bar at Tark's and study scripture like I do on Wednesday nights, and you sense Christ's presence and power, this is just another day to celebrate with his family, to say, Lord, thank you that you're alive and that I know you. Up from the grave he rose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He rose a victor from the dark domain. He lives forever, and with his saints he will reign. He arose. Alleluia, my Savior Jesus arose. Do you know him? Can you celebrate him? Will you ask him to be your Lord and Savior, Easter 2014? May it be so. May it be so.